Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode. It's the Narbos and Broomheads podcast, and if you don't pay your protection money, we will not let you listen. Yeah, that's it. Right, everybody? Yeah.
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 That's right.
We'll take care of you. Let's go. All right. So, I am the Don of today's podcast. Don Slip is my name. And we're going to be talking about Martin Meets the Pirates as we continue through Kids of Degrassi Street. But before we go on, I've got my group of thugs who terrorize the neighborhood with me. So let's go to the meanest thug in the province of Saskatchewan first.
I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Arlo, coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. I would be so bad at shaking someone down. Like the most non-threatening person in the entire world. I'm happy to be here. It's a beautiful day. I feel wonderful. It's a Friday. It's a payday.
Ooh.
It's hard to complain. Ooh, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be like the guy on The Simpsons? It's like, I can be very convincing. Come on, leave town. Please.
Please.
Oh, you're mean. I'll Please. Be your friend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me. Uh-huh. Wow. Who else is out there? I think I hear the dulcet tones of some Newfoundlanders.
Is one yes, of them you still did. Still two different people. Barry, you go ahead.
No.
Hi, it's me. It's Barry Walnuts.
Ooh. And,
I just wanted to say that Pete's car wash is shit. Hey, T, did you hear what I said? I said his car wash was shit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't do the voice well, but that's my Polly Walnuts.
Good job.
So yeah, it's Barry. We're here to talk about this episode of Sopranos. I mean, Kids of the Grassy Street. And let's fire it off to that other Newfoundlander.
Yo, yo. It's Ted. I have a T-shirt, a curated T-shirt with cuts in it. And in the back, it's exposing both of my love handles. Hello. Just like this little kid, this little dumpling kid we'll get into. So, yeah, I'm Ted. Hey. Like, oh, you're so sweet. You little boy. You're so funny. Get out of here with your little makeup and stuff. Yeah, I'm Ted. Hey, what's up? Yeah. Did we throw back to Alan? Throw back to Alan.
We might have Courtney on. We're trying, everybody.
Ooh, we might have Courtney on.
She's not on right now. We might have her on later, everybody. So
some technical difficulties, yeah, as usual.
Her mic cord owed her money, so she broke it. So now she's like, oh, you can't work anymore? So, yeah, she's dealing with her own stuff right now.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But we are going to talk about Martin Meets the Pirates. I watched this episode and took my notes like weeks ago before my trip to Europe. And then on the plane, I watched The Godfather. So nice. I am...
there we go.
Yeah, lots of gangster viewing between this episode and The Godfather. So we'll talk about the similarities between the two episodes. No, I will not, actually. Anyways. So yeah, we're going to We're going to talk about an episode that's, I guess, monumental. It's the first episode of One Neil Hope. So that's exciting, right?
Applause.
Yeah, which of course also means that we are one step closer to seeing one Mike Nelson. So
yes.
Oh God.
Yeah, very
exciting. Down to Christmas.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
He
so
doesn't disappoint.
No, he does not. So shall we just get right into this one? Before I move on, did you any of you have any gangs when you were? Any gang activity for you when you were growing up, beating up people and shaking people down, or what?
No, it wasn't a thing where I'm from. I don't know. I didn't have any extortion rackets going.
I'm a suburb kid, so there wasn't a lot of like gang activity. I did date a guy in late junior high, early high school, and he went to a school in a not so desirable area, and there was like dangerous gang activity at his school.
Ooh, you're living large, Arlo.
Well, I wasn't, but yeah.
My friend Jamie, who's been on this podcast, had a gang with his friends called the Rhyme Emperor Posse, and what that meant was they dressed up in Oakland, or I guess at the time, Los Angeles Raiders gear, and walked around.
So tough.
And that was
so
it.
So tough.
Yeah. Real tough it. Guys. Yeah. So I believe the most atrocious thing that they did was they took little pieces of paper and they wrote the word "cum" on them and then dropped them around the school. So, yeah, gangland activity in the suburbs, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, Courtney. Were you in a gang? Are you here?
Sorry, I was just with my gang. Did I miss something?
Were you shaking people down or what?
I can't tell you that.
Okay. Or else you'll have to kill us.
That's right.
All right. Well, Courtney's here, everybody. Courtney, will you be on a lot or are you just going to try your best?
What am I going to do? Sorry?
Yeah. Trying your best.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Thanks. Well,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, good to have you. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, Courtney, how are you?
And everybody else. I haven't talked to Barry in a long time. Good, yes, how are you?
Good. Courtney basically threatened me that I had to be on this episode.
That's right. You know why? Because I'm in a fucking gang.
She said she's going to send the flyer and grift at me. For me. I didn't like to look at that Adidas shirt crossed it with pirates written on it.
All right, well, let's get into this, because I think there's a lot of material for us to chew on this episode. Maybe my favorite episode of Kids of Degrassi Street so far. We're going to talk about Martin Meets the Pirates, which is episode 15 of Kids of the Degrassi Street. It aired on January 4th, 1985, so a lovely New Year present for all you viewers. Written by Jan Moore, directed by Linda Shiler and Kit Hood, and we get right into it. I believe that most of us are wrestling fans on here. Are you all familiar with the Brooklyn Brawler?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The cap.
Yeah. If you're not, look up the Brooklyn Brawler. That's what these kids are dressed up as. I also wrote LOL. Are we on the set of Grease? It's weird. Like the writers got together for costumes and they're like, okay, we're going to have a kids that are going to be in a gang. How do we dress them? Well, how did gangs dress in the 50s? Because that's what we're going to do. So there's what? Like torn up t-shirts. They're wearing like little bowler caps. What else are they? They're they're like little thug kids, right?
Absolutely. Well, they look generally unkempt as well.
Yes.
As though they're all dirty or whatnot. So presumably they don't have a lot of adult supervision.
No. These two kids dress like the Brooklyn Brawler, though on their shirts, they've decided to write the name Pirates, just so you can easily identify them for their crimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all of their proper names, too, or perhaps their nicknames, which is handy, because it tells us who they are.
Yes.
So we have, we haven't met Terry and Griff yet, but to start out, we have Turk, who's the little Diabito kid, and then we have
Uh-huh. You got your own little one man gang. You taking out on his kid.
Yeah, and then I guess so. Neil Hope is Griff.
Yep.
And then the leader will be Terry. Very gender ambiguous name.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The kid with the hat is Shane, and then the kid with the Mickey Mouse t-shirt is Walt, which I remembered because it was like, oh, he's wearing a Walt Disney t-shirt.
That's right.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He wrote Walt, but then he had to make sure that Mickey was smoking a big fucking joint. he has it's an actual Mickey Mouse shirt, everybody, but they've yes. drawn a big cigarette in Mickey's mouth. I'm sure Disney was very happy. I mean, at the time, Disney didn't know what the hell was going on in Canada on television, but
yeah, otherwise the mouse would come for you for sure. Fuck.
If you the real gangster, the mouse would fuck you up.
Yeah.
Alan, your buddy who was in high school who used to lean against the door frame and flip a coin, he would totally fit in this gang.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they're just, it's, yeah, it's a bunch of stereotypes of gangs in the 50s, everybody. That's what's happening here. Mm. So, yeah, these two kids dressed up as a Brooklyn brawler walking by Degrassi, grocery looking tough. Then we see that we've got Pete, and now Pete has started a car wash business.
Also looking squeaky clean in comparison to these kids.
Yes. And Pete is charging $2 per wash, Arlo, in today's dollars. That would be
$6.06.
So, the Pirates kids are watching on. And Pete not only has like one person in the driveway lined up to fucking get their car washed. There are like cars down the block. Like there's, I mean, not like a Tim Hortons line, but like at least a couple of cars in wait, waiting to get a car wash from this child. So Pete has not only managed to open a car wash, but he's convinced the entire neighborhood that he's the place to go. So I don't remember in the early 80s. I think car washes were still pretty easy to find. Were they not?
I would have to think so.
Like, yeah, you weren't like, oh, like, if I don't have a child wash the car or I wash the car, then I will not get the car washed.
Do you guys have car washes in your city where people line up, like, fucking 20 cars deep?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Every nice day.
Yeah.
That's, like, I don't understand why somebody would spend that much time just waiting for their car to be washed.
Because they care about cleanliness? Come on, Courtney.
But who, it's, like, usually a, you know, a fundraiser or something, right?
Like with wet soapy girls?
No. I don't know. Some stupid
with
baseball
Manny
team
Santos
or something.
In a bikini? That's
what I said.
Oh, God.
Oh, my boobs accidentally pushed up against the window while I washed the car. No, guys.
I do think, though, Pete is trying to draw them, because this is the 80s. He's trying to draw them to the car wash. He's cosplaying a Schneider from One Day at a Time. He's got the denim vest, and he's got the white shirt underneath. And if he had a little mustache, he'd be just like that guy. And some people get that reference, and some people don't. But I'll send it to you. I'll send the picture.
Well, Pete Schneider, who I believe is in, I think they're in grade 6, so he'd be 11. The adult whose car he's watching for $2 wants to give Pete some advice. He's like, "What? You need an assistant, Pete, for this business." And Pete's like, "I do have an assistant."
This is Lewis Mann, of course. He's popping up again.
Yes. It's like, I could write a shitty jingle for your car wash if you wanted, Pete.
It would be a great jingle. Play your tongue.
So Pete says his assistant is late. And the two tough kids are like, nah, this is going to be a piece of cake. So can't believe they're like, it's going to be like taking candy from a baby. So the toughs walk away. And then we have another car waiting for a car wash. And again, it's just a lineup of car washes at this child's home. So it's great. Mark.
Well, and that's Mrs. Dion who's waiting.
For a tennis match.
Yes.
Yeah, and she has a tennis racket out the window. She's waving to show that she's actually playing tennis.
I didn't believe it.
Yes.
She's like, tennis. Well, and, you know, she waves the racket. This? Tennis? Yeah.
This Mrs. Dion is played by actual Mrs. Dion, Michelle Dion, and she's a member of the costume and props department. So she's just showing off her props.
Nice.
Good job.
It's like, I found a tennis racket at Value Village. How do we incorporate it into the next episode? I got an idea. I will play tennis. So Martin and Melanie show up. So Martin Schlegel and his sister Melanie. And Martin is wearing a pretty sweet Yankee shirt, which Stacy would have probably enjoyed. He says his little sister says Pete is giving her a job. And then Martin says, if you don't pay her, you've had it, which he really means, I'm going to kill you, Pete. I will murder you if you don't pay my sister. And then another customer pulls in and he's like, hey, what is this, a car wash or a social club? So again, adults harping at the children who are running their business. Love it. So Melanie tells Pete that Martin told her to negotiate a salary for the work that she's going to do. And Pete's like, a fucking shyster. Like, it's like, oh, no, you'll get a share of profits. That'll be a lot better. I'm the boss. I'll take 90% and you can get the rest. And she's stupid at this point. So she's like, that's so good. I knew I could trust you. But Pete, a shyster. So
yes,
always on, always on the take.
Yep.
Always hustling. Ugh.
So Martin is then strolling away, but he gets stopped by the tough kids. So they start by saying, hey, kid, come here. Like
one kid to another.
Yeah. Martin says, why? And they're like, we got a message for you. The boss wants you to meet us at the clubhouse at noon and don't be late. So, and it is like, I'm not exaggerating with my voice. That's how they've had these kids talk. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So Martin then goes to meet these kids. There's an abandoned home, which would probably sell for about $1.4 million today in Toronto.
Absolutely.
I was watching this with my husband, and he was just like, how many fucking abandoned buildings are there in the greater Toronto area? Shithole.
Yeah. So
there's just all kinds of clubhouses ripe for the taking.
So he goes around to the back where there is another clubhouse. There is a sign that says, pirates, keep out. So he goes into the shack, and one of the kids is like, have a seat, Marty. So,
oh, yeah.
So the boss is Terry. Now, we had a pretty lengthy discussion in our DM about numerous things about Terry the boss. So would anybody like to start with some of the topics that we discussed?
I think I was like...
One would be her resemblance to one Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, that thing where people say, I was today years old. Like, I was like, that's not Liz? I'm serious. I really thought it took me since the 70s when I was born to realize that's not Liz. I thought it was.
Yeah. No, it looks very much like Liz, right? Same hairstyle, same facial features.
I found it very confusing when I was a kid, especially since in this episode, of course, Neil Hope is in it too. And so recognizing him from Degrassi Junior High and then also the resemblance with Liz or whatnot, I found it very confusing as a small child.
The other thing with Terry is Terry supposed to be a guy? Like, I don't, because it's a woman, right? Like, it's a girl. Yes?
Yeah.
I mean, their name is Robin.
Yes.
Which is a gender ambiguous name.
Yes.
And they play a character named Terry, which is also a gender ambiguous name. Yeah. So they're an every bully.
I mean, I like the dynamic of this gang of Tufts being run by a woman. So, you know, that's what I'm going to go with. But I think their intention is that it's like supposed to be a guy. I don't know what they're going for here. I mean, you know what? I appreciate it. Like, they're just like,
I think the intention is that it's a female. They're a female.
Okay.
I think.
Barry, what do you think about not Liz?
That's what I'm going to call
her. Yeah, like.
Well, we know that the boss is super tough because they're wearing a sweet Ozzy Osbourne shirt. So,
oh, Blizzard of Oz tour
back in the mid 80s, parents would have been like,
sniffing ants, yeah, sniffing rows of ants off this menu.
So, Terry says that they're thinking about expanding their operation to Degrassi Street. And then we note, as you've mentioned, that next to Terry is a young Neil Hope making his first appearance, playing the character of Griff. And if you didn't know his name was Griff, look at his shirt because it says, "Griff is the best." That's what he's written on his shirt.
So good.
So for their expansion, they need an area lieutenant, somebody who, they say, somebody who's smart and knows what's going on. And I'm like, have you been following Martin for a while? Because
yeah, good choice. Yeah.
Martin's like, I don't like school. I just don't want to be there. So they ask if Martin is tough enough. And then we get like this back and forth about toughness, which every single situation involves harming animals. So that's great.
Serial killers.
Martin's like, I eat worms. Actually, no, sorry. They say they eat worms. So Martin's like, I pull wings off flies. And Terry's like, well, we stick firecrackers up a frog's ass. Martin's like, I eat raw crayfish. And yeah, they're little serial killers just trying to one-up each other. So,
well, I hope that that's not true.
That
like,
they do
really?
Those
You're eating raw crayfish? What are you doing, kid? What the fuck?
They're like, I killed a cat. Yeah, well, I skinned a dog in front of its child owner. Like, yeah, it's fucked up.
On my taxes. Yeah. Like, you're too young to pay taxes.
So Terry says, you need to keep total secrecy. And then they say, Marty, you're mature for your age, and you'll do well if you pass the test. So what is the test, everybody? Well, they take Martin to, I guess we're going to call this place, what do you want to call it? The factory or the warehouse or the big building with the workstation outside?
The
one-man
place.
Welding show.
Yeah.
The make-work project. You go, here, buddy, we got to pay you somehow. Here's a big fucking chunk of metal. Just keep welding it, I guess.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. Just go at it all day
piece of metal
for
do?
Days.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a man. He's using a blowtorch on a piece of metal. I guess he's welding. And that's all he's going to do for, mm-hmm. you know, the entire time that we see him. No switching, no nothing. It's there. Yeah, and it's like, what purpose would this have? Like, no one around him also, completely by himself outside doing this. So, yeah, as you said, make work project for, like, the useless employee that you can't just fire that day. You're like, ah, we got to keep him busy. So
go inside and weld it.
So they're like, Marty, you're going to have to steal a smaller one of those blow torches. And Martin's like, you know, stealing will get me in trouble if I'm caught. And the boss is like, or Terry's like, what, are you chicken? And I'm thinking, is this a young Martin McFly who will be like...
Needles.
Martin says no, and Terry says, good, because we hate chickens. And Griff at this point pulls out a lead pipe. So
actual lead pipe.
Like, yeah, that's right, Marty. If you don't steal this, we're going to bludgeon you to death. Yeah. And again, this is where I noted Griff has a Griff is the best shirt, and the Walt has a Mickey Mouse shirt, but Mickey Mouse has a big cigar in his mouth. So there you go. They should have drawn a big fucking cock on Mickey. That would have been even better. So Martin says he'll get it. And Terry says, yeah, get it today. And Martin's like, okay. And then the boss turns into the Fonz. Because for the first time out of many times, he snaps both his fingers and the kids walk away with him. So that's great. It would be great if their fucking clubhouse had a jukebox and he just
oh,
hit it with his fist. It'd be great. So Pete and Melanie are still at the car wash finishing a car and it drives off. Melanie's like, holy fuck, we're going to be rich. And Pete, of course, is the big downer. He's like, well, no, we have expenses. And then we get an accounting lesson for everybody watching at home where he's like, we have to pay for things like soap. And here's our books, and this is our costs, and this is the money we make, and this minus this is what our profit is. So really interesting.
Gotta get little educational dig in there so they can show it in school.
Yes, yes. But at that point, the pirates show up to break up this very interesting conversation. So Terry puts Pete in a headlock. By the way, all of these interactions between the pirates and these two children are in the front lawn in a crowded neighborhood, broad daylight. So
that's be Pete's house too. I'm assuming if he's running his car wash out yes. there. So his parents must be inside, or I'd assume.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So he Terry puts Pete in a headlock and says, you know, you'd probably feel better knowing someone's protecting your business. And then Griff is like, you wouldn't want anything to happen to your little operation, would you? So then they kick over a lawn chair and it's like,
vital to the operation. The
yeah. And goes, sorry, it was an accident. You wouldn't want to have another accident all over your fucking face, would you? So, yeah. So they try to shake him down for $20, which Arlo, I can guess $60, because if $2 is $6 now, 20 would be 60. So they
Arlo's got her little green bib like head thing on, clicking wildly at her calculator.
$60.56.
Ooh.
Thank you. Holy smokes!
Yeah. So they're shaking them down for it. So again, these children are extorting other children in the neighborhood now. We'll get through this episode. I'll tell you, that I was going to say not an adult in sight. There will be an adult, which is interesting. but I'd mentioned this before. We went to see one of the showings of Schools Out in London, Ontario, about a month ago. And Pat Mastroianni said one of the things that they were worried about with the next generation of Degrassi and having all the old school Degrassi people on it was they didn't want it where the kids would have to go to adults to solve their problems, because it was always supposed to be kids figuring shit out. In this case, kids go to an adult. Like, if someone is robbing you and going to assault you and you're 11, talk to an adult. That's what you need to do. So
go inside your house.
Yes. Yeah.
He's just sitting out the whole episode. He's just sitting out there waiting for the pirates to come back. Go in the house and lock the door.
I don't understand why the pirates didn't take the money now. Like, they obviously had it there. They had a can full of money from all these car washes. just take it now.
Yeah.
Done. Why come back? Why give them a chance? Like, I don't understand.
And of course, American listeners are watching this and being like, that's why you need guns. Pete needs to be a good guy with a gun to take care of the bad guys with a gun. So, great. Stand your ground, Pete. Shoot them all. Melanie says that this is robbery, and Pete says he's not going to get pushed around. And to Pete's credit, throughout this episode, he's kind of like, fuck these guys. Like, I'm going to do something. He's not very effective, but, you know, one thing that Pete will not give up is his money. So he leaves Melanie alone to run the business with some great advice. You'll be okay. Just don't do anything dumb. So it's great. So Pete's first stop to try to get help is to find Billy. And when he goes to Billy's house, Billy's little brother, Benjamin, answers the door. Now, is this where he's wearing the shirt that you were?
Yes.
So tell us about Benjamin's raddest shirt I've ever seen.
Oh, is that me with the creme de la creme?
Yes,
shirt?
Yes.
the Robert P. Tartola.
Yeah, baby. Oh. The creme de la creme. He's a red shirt with white cursive on it saying creme de la creme. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get that shirt. That's so good.
Fucking
oh,
great.
Marked out for that shirt. Love it.
So Pete goes, is Billy home? No. Do you know where he is? No. Do you know when he'll be back? No. Well, can you give a message to him? And then Ben's like, okay. So he says, can Billy come and help me out? And Ben's like, I'm not sure Billy wants to help you after you broke his bike. Pete says, it was an accident, and the bike was already broken. I was trying to fix it. Yeah, that's the ticket. So Ben says he broke the bike even worse, and then Ben offers to help Pete, but Pete's like, you don't want to rip that shirt, kid. Like, that's the raddest shirt I've ever seen.
Put that in the Canadian Museum, kid. Beautiful.
Do you guys have any of your old shirts from childhood that you still think are so cool?
I have my 1989 Calgary Flames Stanley Cup champion shirt.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Classic. Do you still wear it?
I'm probably too fat now, but there was a point when there in 20 when I was really like in the running and stuff, and I actually fit back into it for a very short period of time.
Nice.
You're like, I'm 13 again.
That's right. I'm beautiful.
I have a shirt that I found at my mom's place about a year ago, and then we brought home with us, and it's got like the iron on like custom made letters, and it says, for some reason, I'll try harder. That's what my mom made me wear.
Yes. Oh my god, I want that.
Yeah. So
I don't have any from childhood, but when I was in junior high, I used to go to the like vintage shops or thrift stores and buy like, it was when like baby tees were really popular kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'd like, I'd get t-shirts from like the children's section. So I have some pretty cool vintage ones that are from that era. I have some pretty cool Masters of the Universe t-shirts.
Ooh,
and
nice.
I have the real Ghostbusters t-shirt that has like this plastic hologram on the front of it. It's pretty cool.
Courtney, do you have any cool shirts?
Yeah, I've got like 7,000 1992 Blue Jays World Series t-shirts.
Of course you do.
That I remember specifically, I bought at the shortstop.
Do you have a Roberto Alomar shirt that says, I will absolutely never spit on an umpire and then get charged with sexual assault and get banned from the Blue Jays? No?
No, I lost that one.
Oh, shoot. Do you have one that says, catch the taste? Or
oh, so good.
I have one from Value Village that says, here today, gone to Maui. And I really like it.
So cool, everybody. So cool.
I know. Mm-hmm. We are cool.
We then go back to the car wash, and now we've got, this is fucking creepy. So Melanie, who is Martin's little sister, that girl's got to be what, 8? Like, young. And this guy drives up, and he's got his head out the window, and he's like, hello, little lady. And I was just like, that's gross. Like, I know it's not meant to be. Yeah. I'm just looking through it today's eyes, and I'm like, nope, don't like this situation. No. Not one bit.
Keep driving.
Yeah. He wants a car wash, hopefully. And so Melanie goes to wash the car and ends up spraying water inside the car all over this guy. And I guess it's supposed to be like somewhat humorous and somewhat to show that don't do something stupid, Melanie, but she's doing something stupid. I blame the adult for not rolling up his windows.
Like, yeah.
He's got the fucking two windows down. Yeah. Idiot. So that's the humor there. And then back at the factory, Martin is still watching on as the single man continues to weld the single piece of metal.
Keep going, champ.
If you were a welder guy, like, would you like, what is this fucking kid doing? This staring at me.
If anyone
weld my metal.
Yeah, anyone out there who's ever done any welding, could you please, like professionally, can you please let us know how fake this is?
Not that I have, but like he would say to Martin going, dude, you're going to get welder's flash, which is, it's literally going to burn your retinas because you keep staring at the blue-white light that's coming off this. Like, you're going to go home and go, my eyes are very itchy. It's like, no, you're going to damage yourself. Go away, kid.
A Martin with a big dead look in his eyes. Yeah, fucking Martin. Hey. So we get two pirates showing up in the background because I guess I got to watch to see if Martin actually steals this shit. Then we get walking down the street, Moose wearing an awesome Blue Jays shirt. Moose, who, by the way, is the older sibling of Martin and Melanie. And I guess is also the person in the household who does the laundry because he's headed to the laundromat to to wash the clothes.
Also somewhat gender ambiguous.
Yes. Pete runs up to Moose and says, some kids want him to give them money. And Moose is like, they can't do that. This is Degrassi. But then Pete says it's the pirates. And immediately Moose is like, better give them what they want. So I guess
Did anybody have a friend nicknamed Moose? That's such a common nickname in like kids shows.
Right?
Archie, yeah. This one.
You can't do that on television? Hey, Moose.
Yeah, you can't do that on television.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
Christine. Yes.
Christine Moose, yeah. Right.
Swing.
So we got a moose in this one. So Pete asks Moose, do you remember what happened on Bolton Street when they made everybody pay there? And he's like, if all of us get together, no one will touch us. So now we learn again that the pirates have a reputation. They're going street by street, beating up children and taking their money. Nothing can stop them. children are just terrified. That's how it's going to be. So then Pete approaches, who's this kid who's fixing his bike? Arlo, do you know what this kid's name is?
It is Luke.
Luke, but not cool, but Luke.
Don't get too attached because we'll never see him again.
I wish it was Luke from the...
His real name is Luke, too. The actor. His name is Luke Biderman.
So he's fixing his bike. Pete asks for help, and the kid's like, after what you did to my fucking bike? Like, absolutely not. So that doesn't go anywhere. Melanie is still washing cars and pulls the windshield wiper off, so still doing stupid things. So... Quick thinking, she runs over to a vase full of flowers and pulls one out and is like, you get a flower. And the woman is like, don't worry, that thing comes off all the time. So, ha 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 ha. Pete now we get like less and less elaborate shots of Pete, and you're just trying to establish that everybody's turning him down. So it's like basically Pete approaching somebody, you see it from a distance. He talks to them for like 3 seconds, and the person with their hands is like, no, I'm not helping you. So
absolutely not.
Yeah. At the factory, now this man still welding gets to end or at least take a break because we've got the fucking
Flintstones.
Yes. he's like, yabba dabba doo, and he walks off. So. So yeah, the end of his shift or whatever is going on. He walks away, and Martin wants to go steal, but Pete is there and walks over to him. He tells Pete to go away, but Pete sits down and says, I know you're still mad at me for breaking your bike. So Pete, I guess, has had a bike fixing business and wasn't good at it, so he just fucked up everyone's bikes. So he talks about
literally everyone's bike.
Yes. All the bikes in Degrassi ruined by Pete. So he explains the situation with the pirates while the two pirates are standing behind him. I wish that he'd been more like, and you know, they're pieces of shit and they're mums. I'd bang their mums. And yeah, if they were here right now, I'd kick them in the nuts. But no, he just says pirates are going to steal stuff. But while this happens, the man comes back and starts welding again. So...
back at it, Johnson.
Yeah.
What are you come back there for? Go back and weld that piece of metal.
That's really important. The factory depends on it.
His name is Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
His name is Martin Senior.
Martin tells Pete to go away. And Pete does go away, but now we get Pete starting to check the time on his pocket watch. And again, I'm like, I get that it's the early 80s, but what fucking decade are these writers in? Like,
love it. So good.
Pocket watches.
I feel like it's a very like Pete thing to do, though, right?
To have a pocket watch. Have a
watch. He probably has a fucking briefcase too, right?
Probably. Melanie is washing another car and gives another customer a flower. She gets paid with some sweet $1 bills.
Nice. Yep. Looney's not introduced till 1987. Yeah. So there you go.
Enjoy those bills while they last, kids.
I could have paid with a $2 bill, right? We had $2 bills at that time.
Yes. But no, sweets peels out some ones. So. So again, Pete's knocking on doors, and again, one door opens. Like, first of all, he knocks on the door. 1 second later, the door opens. So it's like someone's obviously waiting right at the door. He starts to talk at the first door. The kid says no. He goes to the next door. The person just opens the door and then slams it in his face. And so Pete checks his pocket watch again, and we also get church bells ringing out the time. So
I knew.
Yep. So Pete returns to Melanie, and she's excited because they made $12. So she's washed 6 cars while he's away. And she asks where the help is, but Pete says everyone's busy. And he says he's not going to pay the pirates and tells Melanie to go home. But before she can, the pirates show up. So Pete says he doesn't have the money. And so they beat the two of them up, basically.
Dump water on them.
They throw Pete against, like, what, the side of the steps. They push this little girl down. They dump water all over her.
She's so tiny, too. Yes. You're like, oh, these assholes.
Like, in broad daylight. You know, they knock all the stuff over, and they're like, you now have till 6 to pay us $25. And again, broad daylight on a busy street. So, these kids, after their assault and extortion, walk away. Melanie calls them bullies. And then Melanie now is not taking any more shit. She's like, I'm going to speak to Martin. No one's going to steal my fucking money. I'm going to kill these fuckers. So, off she goes.
This must have aired after 8 p.m. on CBC.
Yes. So at the back at the factory warehouse, single man welding outside corporation, Martin is still waiting for a chance to steal, and another whistle goes off. So guy walks away again, and Martin actually goes and steals one of the welders. And the two pirates excitedly look on, and so they are like, oh, he's doing it. So they go and leave to tell Terry what's happened. As Martin is returning or walking away with his device, Melanie runs up to him and asks for help. So he hides the welder behind his back, but she's like, dipshit, like, I know you're hiding something. So he shows her what he's done. And we get the Pirates Clubhouse with the kids coming back to... fucking like Griff and Terry and I don't know who the other person is playing cards.
That's great.
I'm surprised they're not like smoking cigars and fucking no, they're just playing cards because that's what gangs do, everybody. So Melanie then tells Martin to return the torch. Martin says he can't, and she says, well, then you'll be as bad as the pirates. And Martin says, what do you know about the pirates? And so she says, well, they pushed me down, and that's enough for Martin. Martin's like, I'm going to fuck them up. So he goes back and goes to Fred the welder, who's back welding his single piece of metal. And we see that there's a conversation, and Martin is clearly coming clean. Hey, I just took this thing, and we'll find out what the rest of the conversation probably was in a little bit. We are at the pirate clubhouse, and the gang is still playing cards, but then Terry's like, I think it's time to visit Pete, and we get the double snap.
Maybe.
Every time that Terry wants the gang to follow, he does a snap, and
so many snaps.
Yeah, throughout this episode. So now we see Pete back at his house. He's getting ready for a beating. So he takes his glasses off and he puts them away. And meanwhile, we see Martin and Melanie, and now they are going around the neighborhood, and it's just like the momentum of, I watched this with Sarah, and she's like, it's like the union getting stronger. Solidarity.
Everyone's just like, Pete, fuck that guy. What? Melanie?
Yep.
Let's round go.
Up the posse, yeah.
Yeah. So Billy and Benjamin are first, and then they recruit Moose. Moose is Melanie's bigger brother. So, like, you know, clearly. So Moose runs out of the laundromat with his fucking clothes. they run past other kids. Basically, then we just get them running past kids being like, pirates, come on, pirates. And everybody in the neighborhood knows what this means and just joins momentum. So they're building a posse, everybody. That's what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we pick up Casey and another girl running through the sprinkler. And I think that other girl is Arlene Lott.
I also think that, yeah.
Who goes on to find Nancy. So it was nice to see her.
And also those two kids in the sprinkler, I believe that they then start running down the alley barefoot. I'm like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah. They're going to fuck the pirates up.
Just like put some shoes on, kids. That's I do not like, especially in that neighborhood where no one cleans up like garbage and fucking broken glass and shit. Oh, those kids are you're gonna need some tetanus shots down the road.
Little berserker kids are like, I don't care what happens to me. I'm gonna kill some pirates. It's like, whoa, okay, cool.
So we got the pirates showing up at Pete's place, and Pete says he's not going to pay them. And the pirates say, "You're making a big mistake." And I wish this was a golden opportunity to be like, "You and what army are going to take care of us?" But they did
missed
not.
Opportunity.
Yeah, they did not say that. And so, other kids just show up. So this whole group of kids run, like some of the kids leaping over the fence in a single bound with athleticism that I wish I had. So this kid gang just comes flying in, and they're now standing up to the pirates. And Terry's like, "Yeah, well, no one tells the pirates what to do." So Martin's like, "Hi, Fred." And then the adult welder pops up, and I guess he's there to beat up the kids.
Yeah, with his welding mask down, so he must have walked everybody's mask down.
Looks like a wrestler.
Yeah, the welder.
Yes.
Well, and this guy is part of the old Degrassi family here. He's a production manager and a producer, and did some work on the rest of the Degrassi series, including Next Generation, Degrassi Talks, and the X-rated movie.
Oh, all right.
X-rated.
Yeah. At this point during Kids of Degrassi, he was mostly like sound and camera and stuff like that. And then he went on to become a production manager in the later years.
He was in charge of welding sets.
Good job, Fred.
So back at the factory, they're like, "Well, Fred finally wandered off with a gang of children, just off the job." And they're like, "Well, fuck it. That's kind of what we were going for. So hopefully he doesn't come back." But yeah, so Fred is now hanging out with these children, threatening other children. So I don't know. Little problematic, I would say.
It would have been great if at the end of it, like, he just took that piece of metal that he was welding the whole episode and just, like, whacked one of the kids in the face with it.
Boston, this is what I was working on all week for.
What were you welding? I was welding this. He just puts it in his forehead.
Wham.
So as they're have the standoff going on, Melanie is very sly and picks up the hose, and she starts to spray the pirates, and all the kids are like, "Hooray!" And they cheer and give chase to these kids. And Pete and Fred are still standing there, and Pete asks Fred if he knows how to fix bicycles, and Fred's like, I know how to weld.
I can weld all your gears together. Sure.
If you have two pieces of metal, I could get them welded together in like 3 days. So,
yeah. So this conversation between Martin and Fred must mean something. Yeah, I know I just stole from you, but you know what? There's these kids that are coming. I wonder if you can help me beat them up.
Sure.
Like, yeah, so,
I'm due for a smoke break. Just point me to them.
I just finished welding my metal, so.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So now the pirates are walking away. They have been defeated. Griff says to Terry, "We should have just left Degrassi alone. I told you, these kids are fucking animals." You know what they're gonna do? They're gonna, in the future, like, one of them's gonna get AIDS, and a kid's gonna get pregnant at 13, and one's gonna fall off a bridge. Like,
half of them are gonna die.
Yeah, like, it's fucked up over here. Don't go out and get chips. I'm Griff. I can tell you right now, don't get fucking chips.
Guys, I went to get chips before the show. I made it.
Good job.
Don't worry.
I'm glad you didn't tell us in advance. I would have been so worried.
I know. That's why I kept it from you.
Yeah. So Terry is like, "Oh, you're so smart, eh?" And Griff says, "Compared to you, I'm a genius." And we're already sowing the seeds for a Griff face turn. Because, of course, Griff is eventually going to leave the pirates and join the Degrassi gang as he turns good. And so, again, a big insult. The Terry says, "Compared to me, you're a toad." Like, even in 1984, even in the 50s, like, you wouldn't, like, that's not what you would say. Like, no. Compared to me, you're a piece of fucking shit. So, just couldn't say that. So, Pete says Melanie did really well, and she asks then if she can get a raise, and he says, yeah, maybe to 20%, but Melanie, I guess during this time, has done some math and thinks that she deserves half of the profits. And despite the fact that she's been a hero and that he's been clearly ripping her off, Pete's the owner of this business. I disagree. I don't think that she should get half of the profits.
Capitalist Alan.
Yep. Like,
he's like, nope.
I'm like, do you control the tools of capitalism, Melanie? No, it's Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they say that they should expand to Bolton Street. And when she asks, well, what will the pirates say about that? Pete's like, we'll kick their fucking ass again. So Pete is now emboldened. So that'd be great if like the next episodes are just pirates getting bullied and beaten up by kids. but anyways, that's the end of the episode. Credits roll. All is good on Degrassi. Kids help each other out. We saw wheels. We saw a gang. This was wonderful television.
Yeah.
Well, this is also the final appearance of Melanie Schlegel.
Yes.
So we wish her a fond farewell.
Hardly New Year.
New Year. She's off to road trip and Clueless, the television series.
Yes.
Racing cars in her home planet now.
No, she was on. She was in Road Trip, getting cheated on by her boyfriend, and then a sex tape mailed to her. So,
oh, okay, yeah, wow, there you go.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't believe that we see Terry, Turk, Shane, or Walt again either.
It's very, very sad, but we will get Griff for a long, long time until he goes to jail many years later.
Start of an epic run.
Yeah, yeah, and again. We're only a couple of episodes away from meeting Griff's older brother. Very, very exciting. Can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on this wonderful episode? Courtney, what did you think?
It's Heredity.
What did you enjoy the gang activity?
Obviously, because I'm in a gang. Yes, I did enjoy it.
That's good. What gang are you in? Uh-huh. All right.
Can you not talk about it?
That's the answer.
Yeah, there you go. Secret. Uh-huh. It's like Fight Club.
Yes.
The first mate.
Oh, I did have a story. When I was young, very young, my dad convinced me that he used to be a pirate.
A real pirate?
Yeah, because he had this fucking sword in the basement. And I was like, why you got that sword? He's like, I used to be a pirate. And I was like, oh, cool. And I believed it for a really long time.
Like, until what, like 2 months ago? Like, how long did you believe it?
Until this podcast.
Yeah, I put it together.
You're like, you know what? I've been thinking about it.
But I just thought it was so normal. All my friends must have thought I was such an idiot. But anyway.
They all knew that you were stupid, but they just went along with it. They're like, let's not tell her. Yeah. Great.
Aww.
I like this episode because it showed me what the working world looks like. I'm like, one day I will also have a welder and stand outside all day long. Yeah. Anyone else? Thoughts on this wonderful piece of Canadiana?
I was thoroughly entertained, I got to say. This show has a beautiful innocence and charm to it that makes me laugh. Like I said, I can't relate to gang warfare on the streets from my hometown, but
what, Barry, what's your hometown known for? I forget.
Yeah, it's known for there's a lot of killing happens, but it's for a different reason. A lot of death.
Why is that again?
So we're once known as the AIDS capital.
Yeah. But, if you don't pay up, we're gonna take your immune system. So there was no gang activity in Newfoundland. It wasn't like, remember the Longtreat Wars of 93?
Oh, right. So involved.
People came in, started calling them ice cream sandwiches, and we revolted.
Get out of here. You get the fuck out of here. Ice cream sandwiches. Oh, get out of here. No way.
So we're going to go from this episode, which was basically like, Kids in Degrassi Street meet the Sopranos. to the next episode, which is what? Kids in Degrassi Street meets Law and Order? Is that what?
Street Legal.
Street Legal. Yes.
Keep it Canadian.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Connie Goes to Court in the next episode, where, yes, everybody, we're literally going to have a children's court take place. So
Judy.
Will it? Court. Yeah, will it be as good as Wrestler's Court?
The Undertaker's a judge.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you are guilty, and so your penalty, Randy Orton will shit in your suitcase.
Enjoy.
Yeah. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next episode, so stick around for that as we cruise through Kids in Degrassi Street. But before we wrap up, we should tell you all about ourselves and our little gang. Don Slip on Instagram, on... X, Twitter, whatever the fuck it's called. I'm Alan, but Slip with Five Eyes is where you can find me on all those platforms. You can find us at Narbles and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page, and you can find us where all podcasts are available. And if you don't find us, we'll come and we'll fuck you up. So just remember that. Head over to Saskatchewan.
You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. I can't remember who was first. You guys are the same person.
But I'll go first anyway. It's me, Barry Walnut. Follow me on the X at Barry R. Flynn for zero content because I never post. But you still follow me. Ted?
Yeah. Come over, see Linda and Sugar Tea Cat on Saywa 3 on the Instagram machine. Let's go, Courtney, our favorite Courtney.
What's up? Uh-huh. You know where I'm at. Courtney.1293. Remember when I could never remember that?
Yes.
I do know.
Good job.
It still happens sometimes.
Only I am. Yeah, you're right.
You dummy.
You idiot. I'm a welder.
Come back next week, everybody, and we'll take you all to court. And until then, don't be a wise guy. See ya.
That rose and broom out.
Baby.
Well, I just said I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe just to get to my dreams.